try to get to work early. He's fussing on the first thing, but soon gets interrupted. By the time he's had some coffee, he's discovered 14 others. Well, he's not back to that first thing by the time his friends are leaving. So another time this week he'll be staying through the evening again. They barely see each other with the groceries and the drop-offs, and they're trying to be a mother. There's a meeting and a party and a possible connection, and a visit to the doctor for a bronchial infection. And the air conditioner's busted, so the baby's always crying. Yeah, they're both so busy running that they feel the life is flying away. Well, they're fine with the cooking and the driving and the parties, and there's nothing they won't do for their kids, but they just want sometimes. We spend our time on many things we don't care about. God help us with all these little things. What gets left out? It might be making music, it might be climbing mountains, it might be dancing barefoot in the palace water fountain. So go fishing in Alaska, look for Incas in Peru. It doesn't matter what it is, you gotta find a way to do it. 'Cause you and I will break and we will all be dead or 80, and nobody ever says I wish I'd only worked my whole life away. No, we've all got to die someday. So in the space between now and then, we just want.
And we just heard a brand new track from the Washington, D.C. area band Vegas with Randolph. The track we heard was Some Time to Live, and that's off their upcoming release, the name of which we don't even know yet. Hopefully we'll get that from the guys. I've got on the line from the greater Washington, D.C. metro area, Eric Kern and John Ratz of Vegas with Randolph. Gentlemen, how you doing?
Good. How you doing, Mike?
Doing great. It's an honor to have you guys here. You're talking to me from Northern Virginia, I understand.
Yep, City of Fairfax.
City of Fairfax, beautiful, beautiful. Is this your second album coming up?
Right, that's right. Our debut came out in about 2008, so we've been working on that for a little while now.
Okay, can you divulge the title of the upcoming project?
You know, I'm looking at John, and he's looking at me right now, and we're still working on the title, to be honest, but I'll tell you a little bit of what we know.
Okay.
One of the ideas behind the new project, when we were looking back at the first CD, we sort of noticed a trend of a lot of our songwriting, and actually John and I go kind of quite a ways back. We've been writing songs together for many years, actually, and have a number of them under our belt, but we've noticed that a lot of our songwriting sort of tended a little bit towards the melancholy side. And for this album, we wanted to make a deliberate attempt to sort of do something a little more fun. And we have the song, which I think you're going to debut tonight, called Above the Blue. And,
yes.
And whether or not that's going to be the name of the next album or not, it was certainly part of the concept that said, you know, let's do a fun album, let's do a party album, something that you know, has positive energy and is kind of up.
No, you know, we're interested in having fun with our songs, and we've, like Eric said, we're trying to write along those lines. And we did do a lot of that in the first album, but we had a lot of stuff that we had written when we were younger that we put on that first album that, you know, there's a little more angst when you're growing up.
Oh, sure, yeah. So speaking of the history of the band, how long have you been together as Vegas with Randolph?
Vegas with Randolph, as this particular band, has been together since about the middle of the thousands. However, John and myself have been kind of longtime friends since high school and have played in another band back then prior to this and wrote a lot of songs and did a little studio work back in the day, but we haven't released that publicly. And then a few years went by where I was with a couple other projects and put out a number of CDs with them. And at the time, John and I continued sort of as a songwriting partners and really came back together, I think it was about 2004, and started thinking about the Vegas with Randolph project.
Okay. It sounds like you're really taking it up to the next level, like getting really serious about the recording and the promotion and the whole gig this time.
Well, you know, we're talking and we're just kind of, we want to see where the songs take us, basically. And that's always been about the songs for us. When it gets, you know, from arrangements down to everything else, it's like, let's do what's right for the song and let's let the song have a life of its own and see what happens. And I think ever since the first CD came out, we've really been very pleasantly surprised with how people have taken to it, and it seems to be continuing on the second. So, you know, we're letting it happen.
So the natural and obvious question to ask you guys, I looked at the liner notes of your first album. I didn't see anybody named Randolph in the band. So where does that name Vegas with Randolph actually come from?
You know, naming a band is a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And, you know, we took some time and thought up all kinds of names, and we scratched through them, and you know, Eric's a tough guy to get a band name by, but we came up with, you know, probably over 100 names, and there was something wrong with each one of them, you know. And then something that had happened to us, a bunch of high school buddies, you know, we keep in touch with each other and we do things with each other every once in a while, and so turned out we planned a big trip to Vegas, and we were all in, and we had the date set, and we were getting closer and closer to it. And it turns out one of our pals, a guy named Randolph, he had to back out.
Ah.
Probably one of the more colorful guys of the group, and the kind of person who we don't often get to go places like that with. He's still in the Midwest, and we just thought what a scream it would be to do something like that with Randolph. So. So Vegas with Randolph turned into basically the great misadventure that never was.
I love it.
It ended up being good timing for a band name.
Is he actually amused by the name?
Yeah, you know, that's hard to say. He's probably flattered and embarrassed, and you never know with Randolph. He does wear the T-shirt. So
there you go. That's hilarious.
Yeah, it's got a name. There's a reason behind it.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so we've established that Randolph's not in the band. So what is the lineup of your band, and what do they play?
Okay, well, John and I mean, again, we really formed the band as sort of mutual singer-songwriters. And John plays guitar and sings. I play a little guitar. Mostly I played piano and keyboards in my band, but I play a little guitar as well when I sing.
Okay.
And we have a couple others. Dan Aylstock, who he's a bass player, and he was in some previous bands with me, including Cherry Smash, which did a couple albums right around the turn of this last century. And David Pearl is a lead guitar player also. Then Brock Harris also plays lead guitar sometimes. We included sort of a circle of friends in this project, and so we have essentially six people, which are more than we probably need, but it makes the project fun, and at this stage, it's all about making it good and making it fun. Our drummer was Aaron Conley, and he has recently left the group. We've been practicing recently with a guy named Kenny, and that's the lineup right now.
So who would you count among your biggest musical influences?
Well, you know, it changes as you go through the years. You know, recently, I just can't stop listening to Fountains of Wayne.
Oh, yeah.
They got great melodies. They got a great diversity. You know, I keep going back. They're almost like the Beatles to me in the sense that, you know, they never get old, and every time you go back and listen to them, it just sounds great. And I think a lot of it has to do with, you know, their great melodies and their arrangements. But, you know, when we're trying to put a song together and when we're recording it, it's just amazing what those guys are able to do. It sounds so simple, and yet it comes out so great. And so we're really trying, you know, especially in the studio, we're trying to get close to some of the things that they're doing. And you'll probably hear a little of that influence in some of the songs we got coming up. But and again, it sort of picks up the fun, upbeat, power pop sort of thing that we're trying to focus this album on a little bit more. I think we might have alluded to it earlier. Our first CD was a number of songs that we had, some of them from, you know, a few years back, and some of them new. So it was really a collection of a lot of things we had written in the past. And this one is
being written from scratch, and it's, you know, reflects very much what we're currently listening to, which, like John says, Fountains of Wayne, old 97s, as well as some of the stuff from the 90s, and a lot of the songwriters that I've liked throughout my life, of course, Lennon McCartney, Gary Beckley of America, Paul Westerberg, Dave Perner, Soul Asylum, old 97s, Fountains of Wayne.
And you mentioned Paul Westerberg, and did I hear it right in Be the One? Is there a slight nod to him when you say aching to be?
Well, yeah. That's an absolute nod. That's impressive that you caught that. I saw them for the first time at Listener Auditorium in the district, and you know they were excellent and one of the biggest bands that I listened to in the 90s.
Yeah,
and you know we were single back then, and we're always you know running out downtown and on the weekends and running around, and you know that song is basically about you know going out and hunting for you know a wife and
the one.
Having fun while you're doing it.
Be the
that,
one.
That line just came so easily and was in my head, and so we decided to. Pay tribute to Paul with that.
Yeah, and it even had that slight raspy vocal quality too. It was just a perfect little insert right there. I loved it. So speaking of the new album, a track that you just released and made it available to the world about a week ago was Above the Blue. You mind if we go ahead and play that one right now, premiere it on our show right now?
Thank you very much, Mike. We really appreciate that.
Okay, here's Above the Blue. We're chatting with Eric Kern and John Ratz of Vegas with Randolph. Here's their brand new track, Above the Blue.
Somewhere above the clouds, the sky is blue. And so am I, down here with you. I know the sun is bright above.
And that was the Men of the Hour, Vegas with Randolph, Eric Kern, John Ratz and Company, and we heard their brand new track, Above the Blue, which is coming out on the brand new album. Eric and John, how's the recording process going for the new album?
We're really excited about the new album, and the recording process is absolutely one of my favorite parts. Certainly, the songwriting, and John and I, as I'd mentioned, have been longtime songwriting collaborators.
Yeah.
Is a lot of fun. But recording is a lot of fun, too, and trying out a lot of different sounds. And we certainly are among the many who enjoy the tools of this current age. And, you know, we're able to do a lot of overdubs in my home studio, which makes recording much better than it was a few years ago when the clock was always running and time was ticking. So it allows us to be a little more playful with our parts, to try some different things. And overall, it's very enjoyable.
Oh, that's great. So it sounds like a lot of creativity happens on the fly.
I think so. And often, you know, we will take the songs to the band and play through them a few times and get a rough idea how they're going to sound. But very often, a lot of the arrangements really happen in the studio, much the way maybe obviously the later Beatles probably did it and many other bands. And so then it's a challenge to take those studio recordings and work them out live later.
In fact, some of the hardest parts is you'll write too much and you'll record too much, and then you got to edit yourself. And, you know, that can be difficult, especially if you come up with something you really like, but it may not work or it may be too much for the mix. And, you know, there's just, it's too easy sometimes to be too creative, and then you end up having other creative problems to get it back down to where it needs to be.
You're in love with all 35 tracks you just recorded, but something has to go.
Or you've basically recorded your next album, you just have to put it on the shelf for a year.
Yeah.
Are you guys the producers of the album? Are you going to be the producers of record?
Yeah, we are self-producing, and we did on the previous one as well. We do work with Don Zantara in Arlington at Inner Ear Studios, and he's been working with both on our previous album and on some projects I did in the past.
He's our executive producer.
So he helps a little bit with our mixes and mastering.
He's a pleasure to work with, and he's got such a great ear. I mean, he'll hear things that sometimes we'll miss, and just really appreciate him for that.
Yeah, I would imagine the objectivity is really, really helpful in the end. Going back to the songwriting, now, are the songs generally based on real life experiences?
Yeah, or, you know, sparked by some event in real life that causes you to have an idea. Above the Blue you just played is basically about going through a rough patch, but knowing, you know, that things are going to get better.
I think what I found writing songs over the years is at the time you're writing them, you often think you're writing a piece of fiction, you know, that's maybe just based on something. And then when you look back a few years later, you realize how it really wasn't fiction. And so it's hard to tell right now if that's what we're doing or not. I always like to think that there's obviously some reality, but some creativity in it, too.
Interesting.
And sometimes it is pure fiction. I mean, sometimes it's like making up a story, writing a short story.
Yeah, actually, we got a couple of those coming up.
Oh, good. That's good. That'll be a challenge for our listeners to try to figure out which ones are fact and which ones are fiction. That should be fun.
But, you know, Some Time to Live, which you started off the interview with, that's basically, you know, not having any time because you're just chock-a-block with your work and your family. And
I think if you live in the Washington metropolitan area or probably any city where you're stuck in traffic a lot, like the song comments on, and you know, just the daily pressures of 21st century living.
Yes.
I think a lot of people can relate to that.
Yeah, exactly. Now, do you guys play out much?
You know, with this project, we've been focusing more on the writing. We have been playing out. Currently, we are really working on the second album and looking towards playing out more probably later this year. We're talking right now about a potential festival for Pop Garden Radio in November and some other dates more around the time that we're going to do the CD release. But I guess what I found in the past in three other bands, and we focused on touring a lot, and we found that the albums and the songwriting maybe suffered a little bit, and we kind of made a conscious decision that we're not going to do that with this group, and that it's really going to be about the songs, it's going to be about the songwriting, and we're going to, you know, take our time and be casual in the studio. So for the next few months at least, that's really where our focus is.
That makes a lot of sense. Get the songs right, get them recorded the way you want them, get everything done, and then, of course, you can do whatever you want on the road. The songs are perfect, and then you get out on the road and arrange them any way you want for the road. Then my one goofball question I have to ask you, what are your favorite foods? What motivates you guys? What powers Vegas with Randolph?
Well, we have one song, which I don't know if you've heard yet. There is a video out there on YouTube, and I'm not going to say this is what powers Vegas with Randolph, but on occasion, it can make us smile. It's called Lagavulin for Christmas. Are you aware of that song?
No, I haven't heard that one yet.
All right. Lagavulin is a top-shelf single malt scotch. And it's a favorite of John and I. So we dedicated a song to it. It's a little irreverent Christmas number, and there's a video out there for it. So we might be sending that over to you around around the holidays.
That would be good. That sounds like a different spin on Christmas, and I'm always looking for the quirkier tunes. You know, I mean, Silent Night's great, but I think the single malt scotch would be a whole lot more interesting.
It's got a social distortion kind of quality to the song. It's not your typical Christmas tune, but it's a nice song, and it's definitely a nice scotch.
very nice. Looking forward to it. So scotch is definitely a good food group anyway. I mean, it may not be the one all the time, but it's definitely a food group.
Broccoli, basically, and Brussels sprouts are, that's what powers Vegas and Randolph.
And scotch.
There you go. That's pretty nice and wholesome. Okay, good.
I don't know. We'll have to think about the food a little more.
Okay. Well, on my Tuesday Night Diner show for Recharge Radio, I go under the name of Chef Mike, so there's always a food angle there on that show.
Well, you know, I'll tell you, you're talking about diners, not to digress too much, but, you know, I really enjoy breakfast in the diner. You get your eggs over medium, a couple strips of bacon, toast with butter, a glass of orange juice, and some coffee. Read the newspaper in the morning.
Oh, yeah. Finally, how can my listeners get a copy of the first Vegas with Randolph album, and also are the new tracks going to be made available?
Yes, actually. Well, the first album is available anywhere. I guess you would want to buy an album online right now with a CD Baby and iTunes and Amazon. The new tracks are also available in those places. They can be purchased online, but we have a program we're doing right now and really just trying to reach out to listeners and let people hear our music. And what we've been doing as we've been working towards the completion of this CD is the newest two tracks at any time are available on our Facebook and Reverb Nation pages as free downloads.
Oh, good.
So we're really giving people the opportunity to download, you know, much of the album if they want to keep checking in. Right now I think the song that we just heard, Above the Blue, and Sometime to Live are available.
Okay.
And, of course, we have a MySpace page. Also, just search for Vegas with Randolph, and a Facebook profile, Vegas with Randolph. We have our own independent record company called Cage Giant Records, and there's a cagegiantrecords.com, which also has a lot of information on us and links to songs as well as a few other artists that
all one word.
Yeah, that members of the band are affiliated with.
Okay, cagegiantrecords.com. Great. Okay. Eric Kern and John Ratz of Vegas with Randolph, thank you so much for spending time with me here on the radio. It's really been a pleasure getting to know you guys.
Thank you, Mike. Appreciate having us on.
Thanks, Mike. It's been a pleasure.
It's my pleasure. And we're going to end the segment here with one of their new tracks, The Better Part, Vegas with Randolph.
Looking down on full of love.